All right, turn your Bibles now to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, if you would, please. 1 Peter and chapter number 1 in the Word of God. I hope I brought the right book. 1 Peter and chapter number 1 in the Word of God tonight. We'll read first 5 verses together and try to bring the message the Lord laid on our heart tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 1, and I want to read the first 5 verses. The Bible said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. For who? For you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for thy word that is before us tonight. Thank you for your divine presence and power. I thank you for grace that's made this night possible. We thank you for the blood and for the gospel of the Lord Jesus, which is the power of God. I pray now that you would bless tonight. Help me physically, Lord, I pray. But more than that, I pray you'll help me spiritually by divine unction, by divine anointing, by a filling of the Spirit of God. Help me to say something, Lord, that would be words of encouragement to your people, that they might be strengthened in these last days, encouraged in the faith, and blessed in their hearts by the old story of Jesus and his wonderful love. I pray that you'll help every home and every family that's represented, that sinners will come to know Christ tonight. And Lord, you'd bless us with a touch of revival, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 5 tonight is where I'm going to be drawing our thought from, is where Brother Peter said, who are kept, we have a place reserved in heaven for you, he said. And those that have that place in heaven reserved, the Bible said that they are kept by the power of God. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, I'll not get to the latter part of that verse tonight by any stretch of the imagination. I may not preach it at all. But I do want to preach for a little while tonight on that first part where it says, who are kept by the power of God. And preach for a little while on this thought, if I may, keeping grace. The keeping grace of God. Now, I don't intend to get into the gospel. The Bible said that we know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And it's no doubt the same gospel that saves you is the gospel that will keep you. If you were saved at the cross through the shed blood of Christ, that same gospel that saved you is what keeps you, for it is the power of God. May I say that what Christ accomplished on the cross is forever working efficaciously in our heart and life. It'll never cease to work. The gospel will never cease to work in the heart and life of an individual. Now, as we continue our studies in 1 Peter, I want us to keep in mind the purpose of this letter, why Peter wrote this letter in the beginning. I'll get to the latter part of it in just a moment. But it was written primarily to comfort and to console the saints of God. And believe it or not, there is a book that's written that ought to comfort and console and encourage you and I that have been saved by the grace of God. They needed comfort primarily for 3 different reasons. Number 1, because they had been scattered abroad. Verse number 1 tells us that they had been scattered throughout various places in the region they lived in. Now, I want to say this. I doubt seriously tonight that any of us that are here have ever been persecuted to the degree that we have been driven from our home and from our homeland. We have richly been blessed in America. Amen. I don't know of I'm sure in past generations, especially during the Civil War, there were people that were dispersed or scattered from their homes or from what they called their homeland. But in modern day America, I don't know anybody that has been driven from their home or their homeland because of religious persecution, like these people were. Can you imagine somebody setting you out of your home tomorrow? Can you imagine somebody driving you from even Kentucky? God forbid that any of us would ever have to leave Kentucky. Praise God for Kentucky. But can you imagine being driven not only from Kentucky, but from your homeland of America to a land of strangers and strange people and people that spoke a different language than what you do? I'm sure that once you got there, you would enjoy a letter from home that would offer you some sort of comfort and consolation in you being there. That is exactly what Peter is doing here. He is writing a letter from the homeland to those that have been scattered abroad, and in doing so, he's writing that letter to comfort them and to encourage them and to let them know that there is a better inheritance on up the road, that there is an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. In fact, he says it is reserved in heaven for you. And he is comforting. And he said, by the way, wherever you are serving God, you are kept by his power. Therefore, you can be encouraged by those words. I could say that to you and I tonight. We ought to be encouraged by the fact that we're kept by the power of God. I would care less if this world and all of the other worlds and all of the universes began to rock to and fro on their axis and the stars fell out of their sockets and the sun and moon refused to shine. We are still kept by the power of God. There is no power that can pluck us out of our Father's hand. I praise God for that thing. Be unto God, we're kept by the power of God. Now, I want to say something right here. Five-point Calvinists have a doctrine called the TULIP. And total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. Now, I want to say to you, hey, now listen carefully. I do not believe in the perseverance of the saints. I'm telling you, if it was left up to you or me to persevere until we made it to heaven, we would fall short and die and go to hell. But I am not persevering in my own strength. Thank God I am kept by the power of God. And so are you. You don't have to worry about trying to persevere. All you got to worry about is praising the God that loved you and died for you and the God that is going to keep you by His marvelous power until your until your salvation is ready to be revealed in heaven. Now I want to say number 2. He was comforting those that were suffering spiritually. The Bible said in chapter 4 and verse number 13, he said, but rejoice inasmuch as you're... I'm going to try to make it, church. that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. He said, rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers with His suffering. Now, I'm telling you, no suffering for the moment is like chastisement. It doesn't seem to be too enjoyable. But I'm telling you, the final results of it is wonderful. The Lord endured the cross and despised the shame, and He did it for the joy that was set before him. I know it's kind of rough on you, but it's probably worse on me than it is on you. But I made up my mind. Devil ain't going to whoop me. I'm just going to keep on. Brother Steve said, preach till you blow it out over the communion table. Praise God, she's about there. Amen. I'll tell you, I'll be all right until it starts running out my ears. If it comes out my ears, then you can stop me and we'll go to the house. All right. Until then, I won't preach this because I think it's important to you. I think people would enjoy life more if they realized that that their persecution and their sufferings are there to bring joy to the Lord, and that the fact that through it all we're kept by the power of God. Even through that suffering, we're kept by the power of God. Somebody said, we don't have many suffering saints today. I'm beginning to believe that is incorrect. I'm beginning to believe that there's probably a number of suffering saints in our churches today. There's many that are suffering physical affliction. Amen. There's some that are suffering spiritual affliction. There's some that are suffering mental anguish. And they're saved by the grace of God. And I'm telling you, it's all because the devil has turned loose on God's people. But I'm here to tell you by the grace of God, that we may not know how, but I'm telling you on the authority of the Word of God that you're kept by the power of God. And if you're kept by the power of God, you will make it, ladies and gentlemen. By His grace, you will make it. Because thank God He has given us keeping grace tonight. And we will make it by the marvelous grace of Almighty God. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to say this. The Bible said in Psalm 30 and verse number 5, for His anger endureth but for a moment, in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Thank God the sun's going to rise one of these days. Yes. The S-O-N sun is going to rise one of these days. Now we may weep through the night season. That's right, it may, we may be living in that night season through sufferings and through sorrows, but I'm here to tell you the S-O-N's coming up in the morning, ladies and gentlemen. And oh yes, joy will come in the morning. Amen. One glimpse of His dear face and all your sorrows will erase. Because joy, J-O-Y, joy. You may not have none now, but you will have some then by the grace of God. Amen. Well, joy will come in the morning. I want to say thirdly, He's not only consoling those that were scattered abroad, those that were suffering spiritually, but He's consoling those that were sacrificing for the will of God. The Bible said in chapter 2, verse 21, for hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. It's possible to remain faithful to the service of God because we have the assurance that we're kept by the power of Almighty God. Now I'm here to tell you there's going to come a time in your life that you're going to have to sacrifice in order to do the will of God. Come on in the house now. Amen. That's right. It'll come a time if you're going to be faithful to church and to services, you're going to have to make some kind of a sacrifice in order to do that. I'm saying the devil will give you every excuse in the world to lay out of the house of God. Amen. Well, preacher, I got to get up early and go to work in the morning. I understand that. But I'm telling you, sacrifice has got to be made. Praise God, I don't need to go back and tell you again. I've told you enough times. But I'm telling you, I learned in Bible college how to make sacrifices in order to do the will of God. And if you're going to ever learn to do the perfect will of God in your life, you're going to have to realize there are some other things you're going to have to give up in order to get the job done. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Brother Doug. I appreciate that. Ain't not many people willing to do that. It may cost you a couple of bucks for gas to do the will of God. I'm going to tell you something. One of the old cliches that I'm hearing constantly is, we ain't got the gas to do it. Well, you got the gas to do everything else you want to do.
That's right.
Don't make a difference what it is you want to do. You got the gasoline to do that. We don't have gas to come to the house of God. We don't have gas to come to the services of God. We don't have gas to come to church and prepare for the services of God. Has God gone bankrupt? Has God bankrupt? Is heaven broke? Praise God, I'm telling you, some of you don't know what money troubles is. We got $23,000, $25,000 that is due on Saturday and ain't got the money to pay it. We have got about $20,000 worth of other bills in there and don't have the money to pay it. And you ain't worried at all about that. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not about to let them bills keep me from doing the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. May have to do some sacrificing or do the will of God. And I'm telling you, if you will, God will comfort you and console you and help you and bless you if you'll sacrifice. Somebody said, why will he? Because he paid the ultimate sacrifice for you, ladies and gentlemen. And he is not about to turn his back on somebody that is walking in his footsteps and sacrificing for the glory of God and the work of God and the house of God to for the service of God to be done.
Amen.
Amen. That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
I said this the other night. I'll say it again. Old Brother Ricky's been working 4 or 5 years at Walmart. 4 or 5 mornings a week, getting up at 3:30 in the morning. And to my knowledge, he's not missed a service.
Amen.
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 Is anybody or everybody listening?
Great.
No excuse.
Right.
God hears them all the time. That's why some of you have never felt that caressing hand of God on your heart, because you have never learned to sacrifice in order to give Him the opportunity to love you and draw nigh to you like He wants to. God wants to draw nigh to you and let you not only understand but experience His presence and His power. And His grace and His love and His mercy. God wants you to experience that in your life and know a little something about it.
Amen.
Amen, yes, Brother Hall. Thank you, preacher. Hi, Brother Brown. Amen. That's one for the preacher.
Amen.
Now, I've got about 3 little points. It is possible to remain faithful to the service of God because we have the assurance we are kept by His power. Now, I want to say 2 or 3 things about the spirit of His power. This power says who are kept by the power of God. This power is not a finite power.
Right.
It's not my power. It's not your power. Buddy, I'm telling you, I don't have the power to keep myself. I couldn't save myself. How in the world can I keep myself? It is not finite power. It is infinite power. It is not human power. It's divine power. It is not our power, but it's God's power. It is a power that is exterior from above. It is a power that is interior from within you by the Spirit of God. It is a power that is superior to all other powers that the worlds have ever known.
It is the power of God. Are you hearing me? It is the same breath of God that created the worlds and everything that is, that dwells in your bosom, and you're kept by that same spirit of power. Yeah. Hallelujah. What power? The breath of God, the Holy Ghost, the spirit of power is what you're kept by. You're sealed unto the day of redemption by the breath of God.
Yeah, right.
By the wind of God that bloweth where it listeth. Amen. Is anybody listening?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, I want to say number one about that. The spirit of power, He guards us. Woo!
Yeah,
makes me want to run my head through a wall. He is walking sentinel over your soul right now. He is on guard duty. How many of you men in the army ever pulled guard duty? He is pulling guard duty right now. Watching over your soul. You're kept by that power because God guards you. He is encompassing you by His Holy Ghost. There's angels round about us. And the Holy Ghost encompasses us. And we're kept, hallelujah, by that spirit of guard. Because God is watching guard over your soul.
Amen.
That's right. Somebody said, well, what if God goes to sleep? Oh, come on now. What if he gets weak and weary and dozes off a little bit? Well, Bible tells me in Psalm 121, verse 3, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He'll not let you be moved at all. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. God's not sleeping. He doesn't have to take a nap in the middle of the afternoon like us old men. Amen. Come on, old men. Say amen. We're nice to sit down in that chair and kind of lay back and check out your eyelids and see if they got any holes in them. But He does not slumber. His eyes are always running to and fro over the earth. He knows every move you make, every step you take. He is right there. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Make a dead man get happy. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. That shield means that He is compassed all the way around you. He will, the Bible said, not maybe, He will give grace and glory. Now get this. Anybody in here walking uprightly? Anybody walking uprightly in the church? No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. How are we walking tonight? Are you here tonight to worship God, or did you just drag in because you felt like it's your responsibility? Praise God. I hope we come to praise His wonderful name. We ought to be dancing on top of the piano tonight and on the organ, swinging from each ceiling fan, hanging from that speaker. I believe that big one in the middle will hold the biggest one of you in here. Yeah, amen. I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to hang the devil on that thing till he chokes to death the way he's tried to choke us to death for months now, and boot him out the door. Come on in the house. Hallelujah. Now get this. Doug will like this. He's gone. Well, sorry. When you snooze, you lose, buddy. He's out of the will of God right now being gone. I can tell you that right now. He is out. I don't care where he went. You can tell him when he gets back, he's out of the will. So I said, the boy had departed. And all the boy wanted to take a walk. The boy wanted up. He's out of the will of God not being here. The Scottish crown jewels are openly displayed. They are in full view. But while they are where every eye can see them, they are where They are where no hand can touch them. Although they're where every eye can see them, they're where no hand can touch them. I'm telling you, praise God, if you can get a hold of that, I'm telling you, let me read this other, it's right below it. I want to read it. This is how God keeps His precious ones, His crown jewels, and we are the crown jewels of the Lord. And here it's exactly how He keeps us, so that every eye can see us, but without His permission, no hand can touch us. I'm telling you, what a place to be in. Amen to God, who are kept, get a hold of it, who are kept by the power of God. The devil's eyes can see you, but his hand can't touch you. All the imps of hell can watch you. Their eyes are upon you, but they cannot put a hand on you without the permission of God. Peter is writing to console them, telling them, hey, praise God, you're guarded, you're kept by the power of God. Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve and Miss Angie, I believe that was. I want to say secondly, not only does He guard us, but He guides us. His power, being kept by His power, determines the fact that He guides us, and He does that by providence. He guides us. Psalm 48:14, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. You believe that?
Amen.
But this God will be our God forever and ever.
Yes.
Hey, that right there ought to make you do a handstand. If it had said this God will be our God forever, pretty good. But He doubles it. Right. This God will be our God forever and ever.
Yes.
Praise God, twice, forever. Amen, two forever. If you can get a hold of that, God will be our God for two forever. Forever is a long time. Great day in the morning, can somebody tell me what two forevers is? How long is two forevers? That's how long God will be your God.
Amen.
He will be our God even unto death.
Yes.
That comes to this world. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. His eyes will guide you like a shepherd leads his flock. He'll guide you through this life and He'll never forsake you. He will be your God forever and ever. Thank God. We're kept by the power of God because He guards us. And we're kept by the power of God because He guides us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! Praise God. Amen. Told Miss Hall, said, let's go. I got a sugar stick tonight. She said, come on now. I said, I'm telling you, it's a sugar stick.
Amen.
If they don't smile at this one, they ain't no hope. Now, notice, the Holy Spirit is our guide. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit, get this, is no less the great heart guide. The great heart. I'm talking about He's got a heart.
Yeah.
He's got a heart. He is a great heart guide by whom the pilgrim is defended and preserved. He is the champion by whom our foes are defeated and our difficulties are overcome. His presence is our seal unto the day of redemption. Thank God for the Holy Ghost that leads us. He overcomes our difficulties. He is our champion that will defeat all of our foes and all of our enemies. He is the one that is our constant companion. Jesus said, if I go away, it's expedient for me that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, I'm preaching on comfort tonight, the Comforter shall not come. But if I go away, I will send Him unto you. I will not. Get a hold of it. I will not leave you comfortless.
Amen.
I will come to you again, Jesus said.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what's living in you is no less than the Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit of God. God, the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bless His wonderful name. See, we're kept by His power. We're trying to fight all the battles ourselves. We're trying to overcome all the difficulties under our own strength. You can't do that. You're kept by the power of God who guards us and who guides us. Amen. That's right. He guides like a shepherd. Psalm 80 and verse 1 said, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth." Hallelujah. Amen. "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, shine forth." I'm going to tell you that ought to be our cry tonight. You led Joseph all the way. That is the nation of Israel. You led Joseph all the way, Lord. Now, why don't you shine forth in our generation and let us behold a little of your glory and have a little of your power and see the move of God and watch sinners get saved and watch God's people rejoice because you are our shepherd. In fact, Psalm 23:1 said, "The Lord," amen to God, "the Lord, He is my shepherd."
Amen.
One of these days, a great shepherd is going to appear. And he's going to lead his flock out of this mess.
Right.
How can I say this? I won't remember all of it. I tried to memorize it. As our shepherd, he leads us like a flock. As our king, he expects us to serve him.
Right.
As our Lord, He actually becomes our servant. And as our friend, He's a constant companion.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I would blow my nose, but I'm afraid then I'd wipe my face and then I'd be in a mess. I'm going to have to do something. Lord on Joe Bible, yeah. He guides us like a shepherd. Listen closely. When Moses stood before the burning bush and received a divine command for the deliverance of Israel, he was overwhelmed by the responsibilities of the charge and received this strengthening assurance: "Certainly, I will be with thee." I can't talk. "Certainly, I'll be with thee." I stutter. "Certainly, I'll be with thee." I don't have the right personality. "Certainly, I'll be with thee." I'm just not right for that. "Certainly, I'll be with thee." I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, hallelujah to God. He will be with you. We are kept by the power of God. Amen. Now, Psalm 32:8, a verse I'll never forget. Now, I'm not going into detail. I've told the story about it before when I was in Greenville, trying to find the will of God. I was reading in the Psalms one night and come to Psalm 32, come to verse number 8, and he said, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye."
Amen.
Amen. Let me ask you a question. You see my eyes? I couldn't lead you by my eyes. Everybody in here see my eyes? Everybody see them? If I'd done like this, what do you think I'd want you to do? Move that way. Move that way. Come closer. Look up. God, what do you think melted the heart of Peter? The eyes of the Lord Jesus melted his heart. I'm telling you, he says, "I want to be so close to you that I don't even have to speak. All I got to do is move my eyes, and I can guide you simply with the movement of my eyes." You know exactly what I'm talking about? You daddies in here have got little children. They get ready to get in something, and you'll just look over at them and You know what that means, don't you? What do you think it'd mean if God looked at you and went, you'd know exactly what it meant. Don't touch that.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost showed me a couple of things this week. Don't touch that.
Go ahead.
Anybody listening?
Yes, sir.
He led Israel by a cloud during the day, a pillar of fire by night. And I'm going to say thirdly, and this is my last point. He gives us. He guards us. He guides us. And He gives us. And He gives us the spirit of prayer. I want everybody to get a hold of this. Jacob wrestled with the angel at the brook Jabbok. His earnestness and his determination is expressed in these words. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Now, I want to ask you something. Somebody said, I thought you said we're kept by the power of God. Oh, yes, we're kept by the power of God. And I'm going to tell you, we can't be shysters. We can't be wasters. When old Jacob needed something, when he needed some guidance, when he needed some to be guarded from Esau, what did he do? Prayer.
Right.
He went to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't an hour laying me down to sleep 30 seconds on the altar up here during the invitation. He wrestled with God. And the angel of the Lord said, let me go! No! Not unless you bless me will I let you go. Guess what? He got his wish. He got what he wanted. Now, what do you think would have happened to him if he would have met Esau unprepared? What do you think the frame of Esau's mind would have been in had Jacob never prayed?
Right.
See, our prayers can change the minds and the attitudes of people. Our prayers can change the hearts of people. Your prayers can change your children's hearts. And let God move on them and save them. Your prayers can change the hearts and the attitudes of those that we think to be our enemies. Isn't it marvelous? And I say this is marvelous. That several years ago now, Brother Bobby Gish called me on a Sunday morning service. I sat right in that room and he said, Preacher, I want to apologize to you. I want everything to be just like it was. I want to help you on the marathons. I want to be your friend. I'm sorry all this ever happened.
Amen.
And hey, he was up here every day.
Amen.
On this last marathon. I'm talking about a sick man up here every day on the marathon.
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm telling you, prayer can change the hearts and the attitude of people.
Yes, sir.
And help keep you by His power. Because there is power in prayer, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
You better believe it's right. Thank God.
Yes, sir.
Now, prayer is laying hold of the divine arm and reliance on the divine strength. Listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to say. The very terms of Christian prayer indicate our sense of God's interest in us. And let me break that down. By us praying reveals the fact that Christ is interested in you. If you're interested enough to pray, He's interested in you. Somebody said, well, how's that? Because He has told us to pray. Call unto me and I'll answer thee. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and shall be opened to you. I wonder if we're praying. Wonder, hey, Peter said, I believe Peter's saying in a sense, if you'll pray, God will comfort and console you. If you'll pray and get a hold of God, when you get off your knees, your heart will have help.
Amen.
The reason we're not getting help is we're not laying with God to get help. You're not going to get help in 2 minutes.
Right. Amen.
I don't say this braggingly. But I could call back the days, and I'm not bragging, but I could call back the days that I have prayed 3 hours at a time without stopping. Now I'm telling you, it's some of those 3-hour prayer meetings that's getting me through right now. Hallelujah to God. Thank God for praying. I'm going to tell you, I've noticed on radio marathons, when we get in there and get to praying, God gets to moving. We sit in there and fiddle jack and tell jokes and laugh and giggle and cut up and carry on all we want. We ain't going to have no God that way.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, we have to be serious and get a hold of God in prayer, folks.
Amen.
Hey, who are kept by the power of God. And I believe not only is that referring to the soul being kept, but everything we have being kept. Our wives can be kept through by the power of God. Our husbands can be kept by the power of God. Amen.
That's right.
Families can be kept by the power of God.
Yes, sir.
But we want to pray.
Amen.
Old Jacob prayed. God answered. Thankfulness in prayer is a recognition of the hand of the goodness of goodness of God over us. When was the last time you just had an old-fashioned thankful prayer meeting?
That's right.
We went to an IBBM meeting at Brother Frazier's one year. And I don't say this, and I'm not bragging. God knows my heart now. I'm trying to help you. They said, we're all going to meet in this side room, us preachers, and have a prayer meeting before we go into this next service. And I knew I was going to preach in that next service. And it's an amazing thing. I had a message to preach on Esther for such a time as this. I preached it here for such a time as this. And I walked in that church down there, and the banner over the pulpit had "for such a time as this." And that's what I was going to preach. They said, we're going to have a prayer meeting. And I'm not being critical of those men. But Brother Steve, I'm telling you, those men were up and done and gone before I ever got halfway through thanking God just for a few little things in my life. Henry's court with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Ah, you've got so much to be thankful for.
Yes, sir.
Our families are, for the most part, healthy. I mean, besides, I thought we were going to have a puking revival. But other than viruses and things, and I know some of you have got ailments and stuff. I understand that. I know some of you have got diabetes and one thing or another. But for the most part, we're fairly healthy.
Amen.
And we don't have, none of you have mansions, but you're not broke. Got a little money in your pocket. You can buy a Coca-Cola. I can remember the day when I was married that Miss Hall and I couldn't even buy a Coca-Cola. Ain't that right, Brother Robert? God's been good to us, ain't he? Old Brother Robert's retarded now. Retired now. Cater's getting ready to get retarded. Roll that big pension check. I'm going to tell you, I ain't long down the road, buddy. Are you listening to me? Got so much to be thankful for.
Amen.
Our families are here. We're saved by the grace of God. And even if the stars fall from their sockets, we are going to heaven.
That's right. Amen.
Because we're kept by the power of God. Devil tries to peep up and look over. The Lord just brushes him aside. You can't see in there. That's private property. I believe he's got no trespassing signs put up. Keep out. Slew foot unwanted. We'll be shot on sight. Somebody said, you believe God could shoot him? If he wanted to, he could. Make a gun that would blow him away. But he don't even need to do that.
That's right.
At the breath of his lips, Satan will vanish into the flames of hell, friend.
That's right.
At the utterance of them lips. Satan will be in hell. And by the way, all nations that forget God will be right there with him. Now, the substance of all prayer is that in all the forms of our spiritual struggle, we may have the help of God. When we're praying, we're getting, God's given us help. We may not be left to our own weakness. We may be upheld and kept. So in all the answers of our prayers, they may be summed up in one thing. The realization of God's presence with us and His power resting upon us.
Amen.
Let's stand together.
Amen.